Amen. Well, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we gather today, is to celebrate him and to worship him. And we begin a new series today, Hope Has a Name, as you are well aware now. And today, and each Sunday, but today I want to take a different name of Jesus and talk about that name from the scriptures and how it applies to us, what difference it makes, what does it mean, and give us even more clarity on how we live out our faith. And so today, we're talking about Hope Has a Name, Jesus, Light of the World. Jesus, Light of the World. So we're going to look at scriptures, one specific scripture in just a moment, John chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, if you want to turn and get a head start there. So we finished Colossians last week, verse by verse. Now we start this series where each Sunday I'll take a name of Jesus and we'll look at the scriptures and learn more about who he is and how that impacts our life and the connection of Christmas. And it all started in a manger at Christmas with the birth of Jesus. And so, and then from there, these names of who he is and how that impacts the world and how that impacts us, just leading us all the way up to Christmas Eve and we'll gather and we'll celebrate together. So let me share a couple of things before we get started, just to keep you connected and keep you in the loop. A lot of things that are happening here at Grace Point, especially the last couple of months. So yesterday, the tent out here is, most of you probably are aware, but maybe if you're not, if you're a guest, we had a great ministry event, an opportunity yesterday to give away coats. We had Coats of the Cold out here yesterday and on the parking lot underneath the tent. So we moved it from the youth building and just pushed it more and needed more space. So we had a tent put up, and I know that alters the traffic pattern, so just don't get in the flesh when you're in your car leaving in the parking lot after the service. Be nice, you're at church. And so so we had to do that just for more space to accommodate the number of people that came. And so first of all, I want to say thank you to Grace Point Church. This is, if you're a part of Grace Point, you were a part of this ministry event in some way, through your prayers, through your tithes and offerings, through you bringing jackets and hoodies and coats. And so we as a church certainly did this together. So it was a great ministry event. Many of you came and served. Thank you to all who came and served. Many of you brought coats. Thank you for bringing coats. Some gave financial donations. Just a lot of people who were involved. All of us really though as a church, if you're part of Grace Point. So I want to say thank you. This is the heart of Grace Point, a church that we recognize we're blessed and God's given. And so we give away. So about 12 years ago, we started Coach of the Cold. We were in the warehouse space just a mile or so on Mayhill. And I won't go into the genesis of how that all began, but I did see some homeless people and thought they needed coats. And it kind of started, and I shared with some of the people in the church, well, let's just do this, you know, for the city. Gave away 200 coats that first year. And at that point, at Grace Point, there was probably 300 of us, 250, 300 people gathered on Sunday morning. So that was big for us. But we gave away 200 coats. Weren't sure how it was going to go, you know. Nobody really knew about it. But we gave away 200 coats. And then each year it's grown. So yesterday, with the number of coats plus, so the coats plus other winter items, because we had other things there too, hoodies, blankets, gloves, and things like that, in addition to the coats. So if you total that all up, the number of items that were given away, the winter clothing that we gave away, total is 3,170. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? 3,000, over 3,000. So thankful. So many families that came, just so many families, and it went so well because so many people were involved and organized that thing. So it was a wonderful. I look forward to the day where we give away 10,000 jackets in a couple years. So just as we continue to press forward and reach more, you always, as I said, well, let's do this year. Let's do this. And you always rise to the occasion. I love that about you as a church. So thank you for Coats of the Cold. Great ministry event, great ministry opportunity. Now, let me also say this. Let me just remind you, many times we do something like this. So I want to affirm you as a church. And thank you, definitely. Couldn't do it without you, bringing coats and serving and getting the word out. No question about that. But at the end of the day, every time we do, certainly a ministry event like this, we always want to pause and recognize that all that happened is by the grace of God, and so therefore we give glory to God for it. Amen?
Amen.
It's not about glory to Grace Point. Look at us. No, that's not the spirit of what we were doing. It's about, man, God has blessed us. God has given to us. We want to give back. We want to follow the light of the world who gave his life. And so we want to be givers to honor God. So that ultimately is what we want to do through all of this. So we speak often and well of Jesus and how he has given to us in so many ways. So thank you to Grace Point and glory to God for what happened yesterday. We start the Christmas series today. Flannel Fest is Wednesday. If you're signed up for that, just remember, just remind you about that, 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And then Christmas Hope, before we jump into the scriptures. Christmas Hope, this is it's a great ministry opportunity for us to come alongside people during this Christmas season who need help financially. People that maybe they're going through difficult times. Some people, you know, it could be just a number of different things that happen. And so we started this about 4 years ago, and we want to reach as many families as possible by giving. We do that as you give, as we all give, then we can give that away to people in need. So that's what Christmas Hope is. It's a way for us to come alongside people, walk through difficult times, and to give to them financially in a practical way, certainly in prayer and spiritual and reminding them that, you know, as God has blessed us by his grace, we want to bless you. So we're pointing to, ultimately, to the Lord and his provision. And so if you'd like to give to that Christmas Hope ministry and that fund, everything, of course, you give 100% is given away to families in need. You can give right on the envelope, Christmas Hope. Go online. If you give online, as you scroll down, you'll see a place you can click on Christmas Hopes to make sure it gets to the right place. And then I have a few people around me, kind of a team of people. Just we take those in confidence. We look through those. There's a vetting process. And then we disperse those funds. Now, you can also nominate families, you know, that you know family that needs help. You can go to gracepointdayton.com/Christmas Hope, as you see it on the screen, and it takes you to a page where you would fill out information, your information, and then give us information about the family that you are asking us to help. Tell us a little bit about their story, and just fill out some more information about that, and then we take that, keep it in confidence among us, and then we will we'll pray over that and then be able to help them. So there is a vetting process. I mean, we need accountability. We need a process, and so we have a process these last few years. We work. I believe it works well, but it does require you to kind of buy into that and to go online and let us know if there's some people that need help. We'd love to help them. Okay, all right, let's jump into this, and then in just a few minutes here, after I kind of give you a broad stroke, I've asked Kyle and Amy Petit, who are Grace Point members, to come and share a testimony here in just a little bit, and that just goes so well with Jesus, Light of the World. And each week, each Sunday, I'm asking Grace Point member to come and share, and just so you can hear what's going on in people's lives. I think it's a great way to point people to Jesus through testimony. So John chapter 8, verse 10 through 14. Here's what I want to do. Let me set this up and give you a little context, then I want to get to the main verse we're going to talk about, but you need to have a little context of what's happening before I just jump into reading that verse. So John chapter 8, the verses before John 8, 12, where Jesus says to them, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's where we're going to kind of step down on prior to. Prior to that, here's the story. Here's what's happening. This is the story of the woman caught in adultery. Prior to that, the verses leading into this declaration that Jesus makes of who he is. So it's the woman who caught in adultery. In summary, I'm summarizing now. The Pharisees bring her, the religious leaders bring her before Jesus and the others that have gathered. The law says she dies. Stone her, the Pharisees say. They're setting Jesus up. Let's see what he does with this in front of all these people. So they bring her, again, I'm paraphrasing, they bring her before Jesus and they say she's been caught in adultery. The law says stone her, she dies. What do you say? Okay, let's summarize. So that's the context, right, of leading into what I'm about to read. And then, as the story goes, Jesus confronts them, says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. We're all dropping the rocks and the stones at that point, right? Because we're all there. And then, verse 10 is where we pick it up. So all that's just happened. They dropped the stones. They're not going to kill her. Now, verse 10. Jesus stood up and said to her, so he bent down, written in the ground. Now Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, here's what I want you to see. I'm not going to dwell here, but I teach this to you, that all throughout the Scriptures, we see the gospel message, we see the Scriptures pointing to Jesus. And as you continue to be reminded of that, and as you're reading the Scriptures and as you're looking, the Holy Spirit reveals that to you and you see it. This is an example of that, right? So this story, don't miss the big picture on this story. There's a lot of things you can draw from this. You know, drop the stones of criticism, don't condemn people, grace, there's a lot of that. But the big picture of this is the gospel. I want you to see that. This story is the gospel message. A lady who has sinned, who is caught in her sin, the sentence is death. And what does he do? He redeems her. And he saves her. And he doesn't condemn her. That's the gospel. You get that right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift is Jesus. It's eternal life in Jesus. And so the gift is Christ, the light of the world, who redeems us and who saves us, doesn't condemn us. I'm not condemning you. Go and sin no more. Right, so this story is the gospel message to us. Now, right after he says that, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. Now, here's what I want to focus on. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there judgment on her was darkness, man. That is worldly darkness. And Jesus' declaration is, I'm the light, so this is the way, walk in it. And in that context, grace, the gospel, mercy, Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk, he's talking about living your life in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus, light of the world. He steps in that situation and changes everything. The same thing happens for us when Jesus steps in. And that's really what we're doing at Christmas. It shouldn't just be at Christmas, you know that, but the focus is to invite him in, to not get so busy and not distracted at this time of year especially, right? That we haven't invited him in, that he's stepping into your world, your Christmas, your life, your family, your home. And when he does, then things radically shift, man. Changes just like this. Go and sin no more. The light of the world. Takeaway number one. I'm going to give you four fairly quickly. Takeaway number one. Jesus, the first thing we see here is Jesus is declaring that he's the source of true spiritual light. That's first and foremost. Unto salvation. And then I'm going to show you as you live. But first and foremost, unto salvation is the gospel message. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, now watch this. Watch this in your Bible. I've got this underlined. I am the light of the world. And in my Bible, I have the word the underlined and circled, highlighted. The light of the world. And that's significant. We read about that so fast. We stop and go, the light. He did not say, I am a light. As though there are many options of spiritual light. Now, that's what the world's going to tell you. In darkness, there's a lot of, in the world, they will say there's a lot of different things that are spiritual light. But Jesus is declaring, and that's what's happening here, I am the light of the world. So in the context of gospel and salvation, I take you to John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say, I am a way, but just for the record, I'm a way, you can get there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Very significant. Three-letter word. Radically shifts and changes everything. So it's a declaration. Okay. He is the source of true spiritual light. It's darkness is being legalistic like the Pharisees and saying, keep the law and you're spiritual, you go to heaven. So that's darkness, right? That's not light. Yet many bought it. That's why he comes in and says, I am the light of the world. So follow after me this way, and you will not walk in darkness. So he's the source of true, first of all, he's the source of true spiritual light. Now, at the end of this section of scripture where he kind of finishes the thought, I'm not going to read all the way through it, but he's dialoguing again after he declares that he is light. He starts talking about judgment, that they're giving judgment and they can't judge. And then he said at the end of it, verse 30, listen to this. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So it was the words of Jesus that brought these people to faith. As people listened to his words, they believed. As people listened to his words, they believed. You know, I thought, this is a side note, but for me, maybe you can relate, that I think sometimes I'm not listening well to God through his word. And if I'm not listening well to his word, then it is hard to believe that as I walk through this valley, I'll make it through it. So Jesus, takeaway number one, he's the source of true spiritual light unto salvation. And then takeaway number two, this is more of as you flesh it out and as you begin to live. Takeaway number two, Jesus lights the way. So in a world of darkness, Jesus lights the way. Look at the second part of that verse. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I think it's twofold. I think number one, it's unto salvation. I think number two, it's in this world. So not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Two scriptures. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 43:3, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. So we in times of dark, so just literally speaking, in darkness, it's hard to find our way, right? You can kind of, I have the layout in my house that I can, for the most part, and you probably did, I could get up in the middle of the night with no lights on and make my way through. But even though I know the path, I still at times hit a wall with my, because or I'll forget the chairs there. So you can stumble your way through. But we need light to walk well. Right? Just literally speaking, I'm talking about literal light. I mean, we could, don't do it. We could turn all the lights off in the worship center. And I could still speak, but you wouldn't receive it well because you can't see. Not because you're in darkness. So we need light, just literally speaking, and then also spiritually. To see well, we need light, which takes me to, so Jesus, he's going to light the way. So in your times of darkness, not literally, I'm talking now about figuratively speaking or spiritually, let me say it that way. Times of darkness, whether it's maybe it's depression, people going through depression, a lot of times people will, and I've described my journey before of like, everything was dark. It seemed like a very dark time. We've heard that. You've probably been there. Some of you may be there right now. Times of darkness, right? So in those times, what I'm saying to you and what Jesus declares is he lights the way. So in times of darkness, or it may be, if it's not depression, it might be just a difficult circumstance, or it might be marriage issues, it might be kid issues, it might be health issues, it might be financial issues. When there's a sense of not seeing well in darkness, he lights the way. This is where we need to be even more clear about he's going to light the way. So I'm not going to depend on my feelings to navigate me through it, right? Because he's light, and so I come back here to what he says. Takeaway number three, light restores our perspective. Light restores our perspective. When we don't have that light, fear. So Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Since there is light and he is light, I don't have anything to be afraid. Without that, we get afraid. The Lord is stronger than my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So in times of darkness, Let's talk literally. Things get distorted, right? You can't fully see. What's that moving over there? Whoa, I see something. You can't see well, right? And so everything gets distorted. It's hard to see. The best is we stumble through the darkness. The same thing is true for us spiritually, emotionally at times. When we're walking through times of darkness, grief, loss, valleys, depression, we're not seeing well. It clouds our thinking, stirs our fear, increases our anxiety. So we need light. The light of Jesus, the scriptures, the word, God, he is the light of the world. He helps us to see well and to make it through those times of darkness. He is that light for us. When our kids were little, we had the three boys in one room, and maybe with your kids, finished story time and all that, and we turn all the lights off, and we would, you know, draw the door, close the door. They didn't like that door closed. They would always say, you know, don't close the door, don't close the door. Why not? And then they would say, because it's too dark in here. And so you know the answer. You got kids and they were little. So we're either going to put in the night light, or what I did is I turned the hallway on, light on, and I would pull the door, but I would just leave it open about this much. Just for enough light to get through and hit that floor that they could see it. We good with this? Yeah, we're good. Because the light took away their fear. The light settled their hearts. The light allowed them to rest, literally. That's what, it restores your perspective. He declares he is the light of the world. Jesus is. And then take one number four, God's light in us. So he's the light of the world. And then he says in Matthew 5 that you then, so as we follow the light of Christ, then we become, we don't become deity, we don't become Jesus, but we become light of the world, that end of that verse, that people see that and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So it never terminates here. We've said that with us. We give glory to God. God's light in us. I've asked Kyle and Amy Petit to share testimony today. I've known Kyle and Amy for over 20 years. Amy served as preschool children's director at the church previously before I started Grace Point. And she served there. Kyle served at that church also. And they have been here since day one, 2005. They were part of the 40 people that started Grace Point with us. Amy at that time was serving as a preschool children's director when we began, and for a number of years. And then over here a few years ago, God called her out of that, and she passed that on to Julie Richardson, who worked for Amy for a number of years. So she has served faithfully here. And then Kyle served in a number of capacities, from trustee to teacher, discipleship, greeter, just anything that we've needed at the back. Just a wonderful family I've known for years, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has them here at Grace Point. They have three children, Berkeley, 17, Cheney, 21, Sawyer, who is 24, and I ask Colin Avery to come and share their testimony, light of the world today.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. So we, as Pastor Dave mentioned, we've got three amazing children. Sawyer, the oldest, Cheney, and Berkeley. At 2 years of age, Sawyer was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism and speech and motor skill delays. We want to share a little bit of our journey with you today and how we've seen hope in Jesus through Sawyer. You see, as a young father-to-be, knowing that my firstborn would be a son, I had visions and dreams of playing catch in the front yard, dreams of coaching a little league team, possibly what Friday Night Lights may look like in the future. But at 2 years of age, those dreams were fading quickly. And I moved to a position that I truly feel God calls us to, his bold prayers. And I remember sitting in my office and praying that Sawyer would be typical, that Sawyer would be healed. But I knew in my heart that my prayers were rooted in selfishness and denial. I pretty much knew that my bold prayers were not God's plan. Those were my plan. And I moved from there to praying that God would use Sawyer in ways that we couldn't imagine.
So as any parent would do once Sawyer was diagnosed, we jumped straight into therapy. We were doing about 40 hours of in-home therapy, ABA, a week. We were doing physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, you name it, we tried it. It was exhausting. It was financially a struggle. It was emotionally a struggle. We were trying really, really hard to make our son fit the mold of this world. We wanted him to do and be what all the other kids were getting to do and be. And I remember one night after we put Sawyer to bed, I went in and sat by Kyle's side of the bed, and I just started weeping. And I was just, my heart was broken. He was progressing in therapy, but not as quick as I wanted him to be. And my heart was just broken. I started crying, and of course, my crying got louder and louder, and eventually Kyle heard and came in and sat by me and held me, and we just mourned our son. All the thoughts and dreams that we had for him were not going to happen. And truly, we felt like we were mourning his death. And as we sat there and cried, we started to pray, and we realized how off our focus was on the plans God had for Sawyer, and how God gave Sawyer to us as a blessing, not for us to experience joy. We quickly realized that God's plan for Sawyer was so much greater than anything that we could have even imagined. So that night, we just laid Sawyer back into his hands, and we promised the Lord anything he wanted, that he was his. He could use him any way he saw fit. And such a burden was lifted. No longer were we trying to make Sawyer fit into this world. We were praying he would stand out. We were praying that he would be a light to others. And through him, people would come to know the Lord.
So as we continue on our journey, I think it's best described through an illustration. If you've been here long enough, you may have heard Pastor Dave read this illustration before. I'm going to paraphrase it and share kind of how it fits our story. It's an illustration of raising a child with special needs. And it's like going on a vacation to Italy. You're going to Italy because everybody else has been to Italy. You're going to Italy because that's all the stories you've heard. You're going to Italy because that's just what everybody does. You're excited about it. You're dreaming of it. All the adventures. You pack. And you go on this trip. And the plane lands. And for us, that was at 2 years of age. For Sawyer. And the captain comes over the intercom and says, "Welcome to Holland." And immediately you go through denial. That's not what I signed up for. You go through anxiety. You go through stress. Because you don't know anything about Holland. This was over 20 years ago. You couldn't Google what's Holland like. But what you have to realize is that Holland's not a poverty-stricken area. It's not a disease-riddled area. It's not dirty. It's just different. It's a little bit slower paced. It's not quite as flashy. But there's beauty in Holland. There's beauty in the experience and in the adventures that lie there for you. And who knew that Holland would be so more expensive than Italy? Amy has said over the years, Kyle, we need a budget for this. And I've told her, I said, honey, the math doesn't add up. But God has been faithful. We chose to give Sawyer to God. We chose to focus our marriage on God. And God has been faithful in that. Sawyer has impacted so many people, countless stories. But it starts first and foremost with Amy and I. I truly believe that, I think this is true for everybody, but especially if you're raising a child with special needs, your marriage is going one of two ways. It's not ever staying in the middle. It's either deteriorating or it's growing stronger. And we chose to focus on Jesus, make him first in our marriage, make him first in what we gave Sawyer to, and it has strengthened our marriage in ways that I can't even begin to explain to you. Our girls found compassion that I don't know that you could have found otherwise. They have found ways to put others first, and that life's not always fair. You don't always get what you want. And then finally, Sawyer's impacted so many people that he's come in contact with. Through the school that he attended, through the football program that he had a chance to be a part of, I could tell you the story that his proudest moment, but I would completely lose it up here. So ask him. He'll be happy to tell you. And then even in this church, Sawyer grew up in this church, and anybody that's experienced him in worship, him singing in worship, can tell you. I've had countless people that have come up to us and tell us about the blessing that he has been to them and that he continues to be.
As Kyle and I were talking about what we would want you to remember about our testimony, as we were praying about it, the one thing that really stuck us hard was that night sitting by the bed when we surrendered Sawyer to Jesus. That was a choice we made to look for the hope in Jesus. And it wasn't the last time we made that choice. It was just the first. We make that choice daily. I know you make that choice too. And it's not just with Sawyer. It's with our other girls as they go out into the world. You can either have hope in Jesus and keep your eyes focused on him and what he's doing in your life and what he has planned for you, or you can get your eyes so focused on the world that everything looks askew and you can never measure up. So that's my prayer for you today, that you'll remember every morning as you're spending time with the Lord, that today you can choose hope and choose to keep your eyes on him. Thank you.
Thank you to Kyle and Amy. When I was thinking about this series, they certainly light of the world, and they came to my mind. Kyle and Amy, and then Sawyer. And if you know Sawyer, you see that light. And so as I finish this in takeaway 4, God's light in us, as I mentioned, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. So there's that transition as we follow the light. Now, the purpose of the light of the world in us is the end of this passage. Let me go on. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that, this is the part we have, and you hear them grab a hold of, this is as Amy and Kyle are sharing, and you hear them share that they gave Sawyer to the Lord, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's what happens when we follow Jesus, the light of the world. Then we, in turn, become light in darkness, in a world of darkness. As you live out your faith in this dark world, people will see light. That's light. And then you and I, we have that opportunity to give glory to your Father in heaven. It's not just about giving away coats. It's not just about that. It's about giving away coats as light and darkness so people will know God. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Let's stand as we pray and as we just continue to worship. And as we think about Christmas and those lights all around and those Christmas lights, when you see them, may you remember this year, Jesus is the light of the world, whose lights are lit because of Jesus, the light of the world. And then, Father, we're praying that we in turn will live out our faith and be light in darkness. Not so people will look at us, but so people will see you well. See who you are, God. Thank you for Grace Point, just a group of people that love you and want to serve each other and to worship you and your blessing. And you're so gracious to us. And you've given us so very much. And we are thankful. And we continue, Father. We continue to follow you, the light of this world, so we may in turn be light that would point people to you. So we're thankful and we worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.